Blog Talk Radio.
Give to you to activate it.
Okay.
that. Amen. All right, so we're going to continue in the atonement because there are some scriptures that I need to bring out. We understand the fundamentals of the atonement, that the priest would go in, and that he would go into the Holy of Holies once a year, and he would lay his hand on the head of the sin offering, and then he would recite, all the sins of Israel onto the head of that particular goat. And then when he came out, then Israel would have forgiveness for a year. Messiah became our atonement under the New Testament by shedding his blood for us, and the Most High selecting him specifically to be the sin offering. And so he ascended into the heavens, and he makes atonement for us by his blood. And then when we sin ignorantly, then he will have mercy upon us. Okay, and he will extend mercy to us. And all those who have not ever come to him, then he extends the offer of grace. You know, their willful sin being forgiven, and they are able to come to him with a clean conscience after that. So we want to look at some other aspects of this, the things that happened at Messiah's crucifixion, okay, and what happened in the temple, those types of things, and so that we can further see how the Most High uses the atonement, the Day of Atonement, and how Messiah opened up the Day of Atonement to us here in the New Testament and to all generations after this until he returns. I'll just say it then when I get to it. Nevertheless, I want to call a fast for the congregation for the Day of Atonement. And on that day, if you can fast and restrict yourself to just water from the sunset on the 25th to the sunset on the 26th, then and you're able to go before the Most High and spend time with him, reflecting, praising him, and worshiping him, then that's something that I want us to do as the congregation. Okay. And perhaps next year we will do it together on the land, because that is my hope and desire. And I'm, still counting on the Most High to bring us into fruition into this endeavor. And I know that he's going to do it. He has not ever failed me yet, and it's something that he's told me to do. So it's in his time, but, I can't wait for the day that we do it together. That being said, let me have the ladies cover their heads, men uncover your heads, and let us go before the Most High, our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20-21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1 and verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 9. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26-29. I can do all things through Mashiach, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah, Father. We just lift you up and we glorify you. We magnify your name today, O Yah Elohim. And we extol you, Father, for you are worthy of all praise and all glory and all honor. Majesty belongs to you and to you alone, Father. And so we just worship you on today. We ask that you would be with us as we come before you, Father, on this evening. Let it be your words that are heard. Hallelujah. Hallelujah and hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. May the Most High bless you through the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen. And amen.
We stand in awe of you.
All right. Amen. 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 We're going to go ahead and jump into this precept. Let us go to Leviticus chapter 16. Leviticus chapter 16, and we're going to get about three verses from there. And Yah said unto Moses, speak unto Aaron, Leviticus chapter 16 and verse 2. And Yah said unto Moses, speak unto Aaron thy brother, that he come not at all times into the holy place, within the veil before the mercy seat, which is upon the ark, that he die not, for I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat. So in Torah, everybody did not have access to the Most High, and he did not deal with everybody openly. He mainly dealt with his prophet, Moses being the first. Even the priesthood did not have access to the Most High year in and year out. They were only supposed to go into the Holy of Holies once a year, and the Most High would meet them there. And if they did not come correctly, they would die. Okay? So Moses was the exception to this until the first prophet came along after that. Okay? Jump down to verse 22. Okay, now this is where Aaron, the high priest, has made the offering by the sprinkling of blood seven times to cleanse the altar, to cleanse the sanctuary, to cleanse the children of Israel of their uncleanliness. Verse 20, and when he had made an end of reconciling the holy place and the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, he shall bring a live goat, and Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions in their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat, and shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness. Let us go into the New Testament. Go to 1 Peter, and we're going to get verse 24. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed. You were healed. Talking about the stripes to heal you of a medical condition. This is talking about stripes that he took for your sins. Okay? That he took for our sins. So the Most High put this on him. Go to Isaiah chapter 53. The book of Isaiah chapter 53. And we are going to be getting verses 4 through 6. We get verses 1 through 6. Isaiah chapter 53, verses 1 through 6. Because when I saw this verse and the Most High showed me, the report that the people have to believe, okay? He says, who has believed our report? Now, you would think that it's talking about the prophet. And to whom is the arm of Yah revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of the dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness. He is not a beautiful man. He is not built up, you know, muscular, or that he would attract people. He has no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. So I didn't want us attracted to Messiah like you see these blue-eyed, blonde-haired Jesuses that they have that, you know, would attract people. This is not what he wanted, okay? He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our grief and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him smitten of Elohim and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Now, talking about us being healed from the sin thing. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And Yah has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Just like the high priest put his hand on the head of, the high priest put his hand on the head of the scapegoat. First on the sin offering, the Most High chose Messiah and did this same thing. Put all of the sin of the world, Israel, and then for the world. Okay? So, Messiah is fulfilling all the requirements of the atonement. But it's forever, once and forever, once and for all. Okay? The high priest could only go into the Holy of Holies on the Day of Atonement. Him and the priesthood were specifically directed, don't come in here at any time. Don't come in here when you just feel like it or you want to talk to me. Once a year, the high priest had access to the Most High to present the sins of Israel. Now we know that those sins were their ignorant sins. So he presented those, and Israel, all of Israel that had ignorantly sinned, was forgiven. We're going to bring it into the New Testament, because something happened when Messiah went up on the cross and when he died. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 16. And we're going to go back to verse 2 again. And then we're going to get verse 15. Now, again, I want to remind us of Nadab and Abihu, because they're the two of Aaron's sons that were burnt up for not doing exactly what the Most High said. And he burnt up liberal worship. Nadab means liberal, Abihu means worship. They burnt incense at the wrong time, and the Most High burnt them up before all the people and said, I will be sanctified. You will treat me special. You will not do just whatever you want to do around me or with me. And Yah said unto Moses, speak unto Aaron thy brother, that he come not at all times into the holy place. Now this is going to change in the New Testament. Within the veil of the mercy seat, which is upon the ark, that he die not, for I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat. Verse 15. Then shall he kill the goat of the sin offering, that is for the people, and bring the blood within the veil, and do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bullock, and sprinkle it upon the mercy seat and before the mercy seat. When Messiah died, the veil of the temple, now remember the curtain that the high priest had to go into. He was the only one that could go into it. When he was crucified, this veil was ripped from the bottom to the top. Now this is a signal from the Most High that he is no longer going to be found in that temple on that mercy seat. Okay, he's not going to be found there. Let's go to Matthew chapter 27. The book of Matthew chapter 27, 51. Matthew 27 and verse 51. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent, was torn in two, from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks did rent. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Now the power of his resurrection was immediately, but these people, they didn't continue to walk on the earth. What we want to talk about here is the curtain being ripped into. okay? Because now they could just look into the Holy of Holies. And they could go into the Holy of Holies. The Most High's presence was not there. Go into Hebrews chapter 10. The book of Hebrews chapter 10. And we're going to get verses 19 and 20. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 and 20. I want to get more than this. Yeah, this is the start of the new covenant, and then we're going to see also by the ripping of the curtain what happens. So let's start in verse 14. Let's start in verse 14 right there. For by one offering forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. Now the Holy Ghost is the Most High. For after that he had said, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith Yah, I will put my laws in their hearts, my laws in their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest of holies, by the blood of Yeshua, by a new and living way. The Most High was going to pour out his Spirit on all flesh. Because by my Spirit, the new and living way, which he has consecrated for us, through the veil. Now, what veil? When Messiah died on the cross and he was torn open, when he died, guess who stepped out of there? That is to say, his flesh. Messiah, let's hold your finger there. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19. So we understand, beyond a shadow of a doubt, whose spirit was in Messiah and who was being reconciled to us. To wit, that Elohim was in Christ, in HaMashiach, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So when we go back to Hebrews chapter 10, the veil of his flesh, the spirit that came out of Messiah, was the spirit of Elohim himself. I'm no longer going to meet you in the tabernacle, in the temple, in the Holy of Holies. I'm now going to be in you. I'm going to enter into you, and you are going to become my temple. You're going to become the Holy of Holies. So let's get this. Now this is because Messiah died, and the veil, the Most High signified it and said, okay, I'm no longer going to meet you in the Holy of Holies anymore. Rip the curtain open. Can't meet me here. Hold on a second here. let's see, I lost my train of thought. Good grief. We'll come back to what was the scripture you were giving me, Mosai? Okay, let me just continue. He'll bring it back to me. This new and, oh, I know where it was taking me. We're going to get verse 16. First Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16. Know ye not that you are the temple of Elohim, and that the spirit of Elohim dwelleth in you. And Most High says, I'm no longer going to meet men in the Holy of Holies. And I'm no longer going to there. The altar and the mercy seat, I'm not going to use them anymore. Through the sacrifice and the death of Messiah, the Most High says, all right, I've been on the earth and I've been dwelling with you. Messiah says it himself, and I'll find those verses here in a second. I've been dwelling with you, and I will come and sup with you. In the promise from Joel 32, the Most High says that he's going to pour out of his spirit upon all flesh. Not a spirit, but his spirit. I shall pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. So he's telling you, I'm no longer going to reside in the building that our forefathers built. You're not going to find me in that sanctuary where I have always desired to dwell. Is in you. That's why he asked David, what house will you build me? And my hand has made all these things. So from the beginning, the Most High had built this house when he built Adam. His desire was to dwell in us from the beginning. But sin kept him away from that. So when Messiah is crucified and his flesh is torn, the Most High says, all right, this sanctuary represents me on the earth. The Holy of Holies represents me on the earth. But I haven't been in the Holy of Holies. I have been in the body of Messiah. So when they tore my flesh, the body that I was in, I tore the curtain to the Holy of Holies and said, I won't meet you there anymore. I'm only going to meet you through the blood of Messiah and you accepting what he did for you, the work that was done. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of Elohim, and you are not your own? The Most High temple, the place where he desires to reside, to dwell, is in us. So we have to know that, understand that, and believe that. Now we have access through ourselves and through our prayer to Elohim. One more verse here. One second. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter, back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm going to get the next verse. So it'll get verse. Know you not that you are the temple of Elohim and that the spirit of Elohim dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of Elohim, him shall Elohim destroy. For the temple of Elohim is holy, which temple you are. So he steps out of the Holy of Holies, and if the high priest defiled the temple, the Holy of Holies, he would die. If he went in there at the wrong time, he would die. If he went in there and didn't do what he's supposed to do, he would die. The Most High says, now you are the temple of Elohim. And if any man defile the temple of Elohim, him shall Elohim destroy. Temple of Elohim is holy, which temple you are. Let, verse 18, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seems to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. So we know that the Most High says you must be born of the water and you must be born of the Spirit. The Spirit is his Spirit. He says, this is where I desire to dwell in you. David, good thing to build me a house. But it's not really where I want to be at. I want to dwell and walk in you. Redemption and forgiveness. The atonement. The Day of Atonement in the Torah was a time for Israel to seek forgiveness and be cleansed from their sins. Now, we talked about this on this morning. To be cleansed from their sins was only for those who had sinned ignorantly. The Most High said, if you sinned impetuously or willfully, your iniquity shall remain upon you. You couldn't make atonement for that. So on the Day of Atonement, when the temple was cleansed and the high priest laid his hands on the goat and transferred the sins of the people from the temple, all those who were able to bring their sin into the temple, if you had willfully sinned, your sin was not there was no blood for you in the temple. Your sin was not in the temple, it remained upon you. So their sins were not forgiven, only the people who sinned ignorantly. Okay? And when the high priest went in and cleansed the temple on the Day of Atonement, then all of Israel's uncleanliness, those who had a sacrifice represented in the sanctuary. Their sins were forgiven. Everybody who was impetuous and had willfully sinned, the Most High says, no blood for you. And so the all in those scriptures means all those who had a sacrifice within the temple. The high priest didn't just make a sacrifice for everybody in Israel, because he wasn't authorized to. He had to cleanse the sanctuary, which cleansed it of the sins that had been brought in there, the uncleanliness of the children of Israel. Now let's look at, let's go to Leviticus chapter 16. For on that day shall the priest make an atonement for you, to cleanse you, that you may be clean from all your sins before Yah. It shall be a Sabbath of rest unto you, and you shall afflict your soul by statute forever. But he also says this, and this, you know, the scripture cannot contradict. Soul that does ought presumptuously, whether he be born in the land or a stranger, the same reproaches or blasphemes Yah. And that soul shall be cut off from among his people, because he has despised the word of Yah and has broken his commandment, that soul shall utterly be cut off. His iniquity shall be upon him. So the priest didn't make an atonement for them. Everyone who sinned ignorantly, the priest was able to make an atonement for them, and their blood was placed at the altar. On the Day of Atonement, the high priest would go in and make an atonement and forgive all the sins of the people whose blood was at the altar. And willfully, there was no blood there. Going to the New Testament. Go to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. So Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. Paul, an apostle of Yeshua, by the will of Elohim, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Yeshua. Grace be unto you and peace from Elohim our Father and from Yeshua HaMashiach. Blessed be the Elohim and Father of our Master, Yeshua HaMashiach, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Mashiach, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundations of the world. Now, when people read this, they believe that they were preordained, pre-chosen. It's not what the scripture is saying. It's saying that all those that come into Messiah, that accept him, This has already been prepared for them to be holy and without blame before him in love. You have to accept what he did. You have to acknowledge him as your Savior. You have to be baptized in his name. You have to be filled with the Ruach HaKodesh. So this position, these blessings in heavenly places, in Mashiach, are to those that become his. And you have a choice. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children, the Most High had already predetermined that everybody that comes into Messiah would be adopted as his children. But you're not automatically that if you don't do what he said to do. So a lot of people say, well, you know, it don't matter what I do. I'm either predestined to do this or I'm not. No, this position, a child of Elohim, was already set up and determined this is the status that you would get to do. Having predestinated us unto adoption of children by Yeshua HaMashiach to himself according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. He made us accepted because we accepted him and we confessed him. Now we have to do what he says to do, because Messiah himself said, you love me and do not what I say. If you don't do what I say, you don't love me. And you're not part of and accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace. Wherein he has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself. When we go to John chapter 1, go to John chapter 1. The book of John chapter 1. Verse 12, because this is what he purposed. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of Elohim, even to them that believed on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of Elohim, by his Spirit. So he gave us the power to become his children. People think that just because we are born human, we're a child of Elohim. No, we're not. We're human. And the Most High would have all to come to him. That's his desire, but he's not going to make everybody come to him. And he's going to call everyone, but he's not going to accept everyone. Many are called, but few are chosen. And all that are chosen are predestined to be his children. I choose you, you are my child. This is the position that I want to give you. I'm going to adopt you as my child. And then I'm going to give you the power and authority. And I'm going to, if I give you my Spirit, then you become and you expand me. I want to dwell in you. And I'm only going to dwell in my children. I hope we can get this. Because in the beginning, he only dwelt in his prophets and in his kings. He wanted to give them his Spirit to rule through them. But he don't make you do things. That's how come a lot of those kings were wicked. They used the power to do what they wanted to do. They did not listen to the Spirit of the Most High. Filled with the Spirit of the Most High. But Saul loved the people more. And he feared the people more. So when the Most High came and told him, go and kill all the Amalekites. Kill man, woman, child. Kill everything. Dog, cat, pig, goat. Wipe out everything. I don't want them to, nothing of them to exist under heaven anymore. He saved the king. And then he allowed the people to save all the good animals that they wanted to save. We're going to sacrifice to the Most High. He disobeyed the Most High. And the Most High said, he left him. Tell him, I'm no longer with him. Saul got desperate and went to some witches. I need a word from the Most High. Samuel has died by this point. And he has these witches to call the spirit of Samuel up. I need to hear from the Most High. And what he did was told him about his death. You're going to die. You and your son. Why have you awakened me? The Most High has rejected you. Because you wouldn't listen to his spirit within you. So we got to understand, this is where he always wanted to dwell, in us. Not, again, I need to restate this. Not everybody that is a human being, just because they are human beings, are a child of the Most High. You have to become a child of the Most High. You have to show that you want him. Chapter 1. The book of Colossians, chapter 1. And let's get verse 14. So you having the power to become a child of Elohim does not make you a child of Elohim. Understand that. You having the power to become does not make you one. You have to do what it takes to become. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Who is the image of who? The invisible Elohim. The firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven. Now we know when we read the scriptures and we read Torah and we read in Isaiah the prophet, the Most High said he did everything alone and by himself. He didn't say he had a son to help him. Say the angels helped him. He said, I did these things alone and by myself. So if this is the same one who was in Messiah, then for by him, let's hold your finger right there. Let's go back to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. And let's get verse 3. Well, let's get verses 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Elohim, and the Word was Elohim. There's only one Elohim. There's not two, there's not three. Israel is the witness of this. There's only one. The same was in the beginning with Elohim. Now, who was with him? Who has believed our report? The Most High is talking about things that are to become as though they already are. I said it, it's going to happen, and he talks like it already has. So he's speaking of Messiah, but Messiah was not physically there with him. He didn't exist as a man. Because it was not until the fullness of time he was born. And the Most High was in that body. But because the Most High had already thought it and already said it, he was there in the beginning. All things were made by him. We just read that the one who said he made all things, we'll go back to 1 Colossians 1:16. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. I did it alone and by myself. That is his testimony to us. The one who did it alone and by himself came into the world. Verse 10, not John, the light that shines on all men was in the world. The one who created everything alone and by himself. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And he came into the world to give us the power to become his children. You want to belong to me? This is what you got to do. I'm going to tell you what to do, and if you do it, you're going to become my child. Receive the blessing. You're going to be predestined. I am predestined that I want children. Everybody that does this is already predetermined. You're going to go into this status. You're going to become my child. Go back to go back to Colossians chapter 1. And we were reading verse 14. Let's actually get verses 1 through 14. Let's get verses 1 through 14. Because maybe this will shine some light on some things for some people. Paul, an apostle of Yeshua HaMashiach, by the will of Elohim, and Timothy is our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Mashiach, to you, and peace from Elohim our Father and Yeshua HaMashiach. We give thanks to Elohim and we give thanks to God, or Elohim, and the Father of our Master, Yeshua HaMashiach, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Mashiach and HaMashiach, and have love and of the love which you have in all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. What is your hope? That you will become a child of the Most High, whereof you heard before in the word of truth of the gospel, which has come unto you, as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit. It does also in you, since the day you heard of it and knew the grace of Elohim in truth, as you also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister in Mashiach, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will. What is his will? That we become his children in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. You might walk worthy of Yah unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of Elohim, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Now he says, when you understand who you are, if I call you to suffer, you can do it with joy because you know what the end is. You know what the reward is. I've been changed. I'm a child of Elohim. For real, for real. And I can endure all this with joy, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. To be partakers of the inheritance. You inherit the kingdom. You inherit your sonship, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin, who is the image of the invisible Elohim, the firstborn of every creature. I remember the Most High said, I created man in my image and in my likeness. Messiah came in the image of the invisible. They looked at Messiah, they were looking at the Most High. He is the image of him. The Most High says, I'm going to be first in everything. So in my kingdom, I'm also going to have to be the first one to be baptized. I'm going to be the first one to go through. I'm going to be the first one to pass all the challenges. I can't put something on you that I can't do. So I know that this flesh is no good thing. So let me come down and put it on just like I put it on you. And be tempted at all and in every way. And still not sin. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominion or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. I did it alone and by myself, and I created all this stuff for me. Why? Because I desire to bring the kingdom of heaven physically to the earth. And I desire to walk not as a spirit, but in flesh, in you. I want to enter into my creation. And interact with it. But everything in my creation got to be holy. Everything in my creation got to walk according to my standards and my ways. And I know a lot of y'all going to fail. And I'm going to have to remove a lot of y'all till I get what I want. I don't want robots. I could have created you all obedient. Every single one of you. It would have been the only thing you know, to be obedient. But I want to take the worst and filter it out till I get what I desire. Being that desire to be like me and to obey me. And I will give you my nature because I'm not going to let you put on your godhood and be wicked. I'm not going to let you put on eternity and be forever wicked with my power. I'm not going to do that. For all things and by him all things consist. All things exist because of him. Because now I want you, my children, to be like me. I want you to be like Daddy. I want you to emulate Daddy. I want you to learn Daddy's ways and become like me. Desire this with your whole heart. And you can't despise it. You can't be like, well, let me play at it. Because you ain't going to make it. Not going to make it. So the Most High, through Messiah, provided a way, not just for Israel, because Israel is the priesthood. Israel is supposed to be the go-between between Elohim and man. Israel is supposed to teach all mankind the truth about how to serve Elohim. That was what they were created for. Our forefathers, the nation. We are living while we are being chastised. We are living while we are being scattered. While we are not in the place that the Most High had desired for us. And we have to be born of his spirit also. Should in Torah did not get filled with the Spirit of the Most High. Moses was. Now the Most High said, now you are my priesthood. You're going to come in and I'm going to talk to you from the mercy seat, but I'm not filling you with my Spirit. I'm going to put my laws, my statutes, and my commandments in you. I want to see if you're going to do them. And they failed. So then the Most High says, but I've already got the solution for this. I'm going to pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, not just the Hebrew Israelites, not just the males. I'm going to make this open to male and female. There is neither male nor female in Mashiach. And I'm going to write my laws in your hearts and in your mind that you might do them, that you might be faithful and obedient children. And then in the next world, when I give you eternal life, I'm going to let you express that power. But I'm not going to let you express it. I'm not even going to let you come into it if you're evil, if you're wicked, if you're not what I'm looking for. If you are a disobedient child, you ain't going to make it. Go to Romans chapter 3. Just look at some other scriptures that reinforce this. Romans chapter 3, verses 23 through 25. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of Elohim, being justified freely by his grace through redemption in Mashiach, in Christ Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach. This grace, as I have explained it, I'm not going to charge you with your willful sin. I'm going to let you bring it to me one time, and I'm going to let you atone for it. But after that, you need to walk in my ways. And if you disobey, if you sin, if you transgress, it better be because you don't know. You're ignorant. And I will send somebody to teach you and to tell you. Right there, you can't be doing. That's a sin according to the Most High. Oh, I didn't know. Let me repent of that. Let me go confess it. And he is true and just to forgive us. That has always been his way, okay? So we justify freely by his grace through redemption that is in Yeshua, whom Elohim has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are forbearance of Elohim. I'm not going to charge you with the sins that were willful that are past. I'm gonna withdraw judgment. You confess them, I'm gonna forgive you and wipe your slate clean. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For he Elohim has made him Messiah to be sin for us, a replacement for us. You know, watch and see what I do to Messiah. That's what you deserve, and that's what I really want to do to you. And that's what's going to happen to all those people who disobey me. But not only that, I'm going to do something worse to them. Because I'm going to wake them and give them eternal life, cannot die. And then I'm going to throw them in the lake of fire, where there's only weeping and gnashing of teeth. And they can't die. Want to die and can't die. Good grief. I got eternity. I got eternal life. And I can't die. And this is my torment forever for transgressing, willfully transgressing against the Most High. Thing worse than death. What is worse than death? Eternal life and anguish and torment. That's worse than death. At least at death, you don't know nothing. The scripture says the dead know nothing. So I'm going to give you something worse than that. You're going to know this, and then you're going to be eternal, and there's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So we got to understand what it means to turn down the offer that the Most High has made to us, to turn down his grace, to walk not in it, to not be atoned for. It's not going to be pretty. Go to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28. So Mashiach was once offered to bear the sins of many, not everybody, but many. And unto them that look for him, unto them that look for him, he shall he appear the second time without sin. The one that he's talking about being without sin is going to be you, unto salvation. He's already without sin. Never sin. But you being in him, now you are presented without sin. These are the ones that overcame. These are the ones that wanted this more than they wanted the world, more than they wanted anything in the world. They wanted to be a child of the Most High. They had understanding. They had wisdom. They had the fear of the Most High. They kept his commandments. He wrote them in their heart, and as they began to read them and in their heart and in their mind, they obeyed them. They didn't find a reason not to obey. They didn't come of their own wisdom. Came out of their own mind. This is what I think. They didn't do that. My ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts. And so we might bring the world into it, and the world has a different standard than the Most High. We're written to Hebrews, okay? And this was the thought to the Hebrews. Salvation belongs to us. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2. And the word of the Most High reads, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Let me save my chosen people first. And then, this is because of my chosen people, my priesthood, the vast majority of them reject me. Now let me offer this to the whole world. And let me make children out of anybody who fears me and does righteousness. That righteousness is lawfulness. That obeys. I don't care where they're at. I don't care if they're in Ethiopia. I don't care if they're in Germany. I don't care if they're in Russia. I don't care if they're in the U.S. I don't care if they're at the North Pole, the South Pole. If they fear me and keep my commandments, they are accepted with me. Thing is, people talk, fear him, but then they don't do what he says. So he knows this offer is to the world. Go to 1 Peter. Not going to continue going up on the cross. He's not going to cut himself and put more blood at the altar. He's not going to continue to be a sacrifice every day. Somebody sins. he was once suffered for sin. The just or the unjust, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of Elohim, that he might bring us to Elohim, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Quickened by the Spirit of the Most High. To Romans chapter 8. The book of Romans chapter 8. Now, if you are truly walking in Messiah, and you are not willfully sinning, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus or Yeshua HaMashiach, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. If you're walking after the Spirit of the Most High, you're not willfully sinning. If you understand the gospel, and you understand atonement, and you understand what the Most High has done, and you're serving him in spirit and in truth, you will not willfully disobey him. You'll understand what it means. Is the willful disobedience of the Most High. That is blasphemy. The willful disobeying of him. You can sin and not be willful, and you don't blaspheme. You still sin. You did it in ignorance. So he says all manner of sin and blasphemy. When you understand the definition of blasphemy, then that verse makes all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. That's his grace. I'm going to forgive your blasphemy. I'm going to forgive your willful disobedience. And I'm going to forgive your ignorance, sin. That's his grace. One time for the willful stuff. After that, he's only going to sin against them ignorantly. And that you're going to walk after the Spirit of the Most High. You're going to listen to the Ruach HaKodesh. You're going to ask, what do you want me to do, Father? Where would you want, have me to go? What would you have me to do? What would you have me to say? For the law of the Spirit of a life in Messiah has made me free from the law of sin and death. What makes you free from the law of sin and death? And you not transgressing again. I came and I wiped your slate clean and I gave you a clean bill of health. I cleared your conscience where you could come and you could approach the throne of grace without guilt, and remove you from the law of sin and death. You have to place yourself back up under the law of sin and subsequently death. By what? So when you transgress, or you find out that you have transgressed, then you found out you did it. That means you weren't doing it intentionally. It was an error. You confess it, and he is true and just to forgive you. But if you willfully do it, you place yourself willfully back under the law of sin and death. And he says there is no blood for that. No blood. No sacrifice. No atonement. For the law could not do in that it was weak through what? Not the spirit. Not the law itself. But through the flesh. Us. Elohim sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemns sin in the flesh. Here is your problem. You're in the flesh, and you are carnal. Think by the flesh. You operate by the flesh. You desire to please everything of the flesh. So Messiah came in the flesh and overcame the flesh and condemned sin. I did it. You can do it. In the flesh. But we want to take the position that we're human. He knows that. He created us. You can overcome. You can make that flesh submit to your will. You choose through your mind and through your heart what you expose your spirit to. By your will. So he condemned sin in the flesh because he came in the flesh and overcame it. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled. Sin is the transgression of the law. The righteousness, the lawfulness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit of Elohim, who walk after Daddy, Abba, Father, pearl, not bend to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. So I made an atonement for you. I wiped away all your charges that you might have a clean conscience toward me. You don't have to feel guilty. You don't have to feel condemned unless you place yourself back up under the law of sin and death by sinning. Now, I'm not an unrighteous Elohim, and I'm not unjust. So I'm not going to condemn you for something that you did in error, that you did ignorantly. The day you learn it, confess it, and I'm too unjust to forgive you. But that which you do willfully, we got a problem. You're not walking after my spirit. You're not listening to me. You're doing what you want to do. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the spirit, the things of the spirit. For to be carnally minded, to be worldly minded, to be naturally minded is death. To want to please this flesh is death. To want to impress men is death. To want to be something in this world according to the standards of men is death. Minded is life and peace. It's life because the Most High has removed the death sentence from you, and you're at peace with him. And he's at peace with you. Because the carnal mind is enmity, is hatred against Elohim. For it is not subject, hear this, it is not subject to the laws of Elohim. And neither indeed can be. The carnal mind cannot be subject to the laws of Elohim. It's going to disobey the laws of Elohim every time. And so you have to die to that carnal you. You have to die to that person. You have to make a conscious decision. I'm going to learn the ways of the Most High, and that's how I'm going to live. What this world has to offer me is death. Eternal death. Death in the lake of fire, the second death. That's what it has to offer me. The second death is not death as we know it, as a being going to sleep and not knowing nothing. The second death is you being conscious of your transgression, and that you have eternal life, and you are being punished for it. You would not repent, and you would not turn away, and you would not walk according to the Spirit of the Most High. So the carnal mind cannot be subject to the laws of God. It can't obey it. This flesh is opposite of spirit. This flesh wants to be pleased. The carnal mind wants to be pleased, wants to feel like something, someone, in the eyes of men, in their own eyes. A That's why he says, all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, these things are not of the Father. So when we live for that, we cannot obey his law because the world is contrary to his law. The man don't care about keeping the Day of Atonement. It don't care about Passover. It don't really care about what Messiah came and did. It's going to make up its own laws to justify itself and walk according to that. And you either buy into that or you say, no, I fear the Most High. I'm not buying into that. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please Elohim. They possibly wouldn't. They cannot. When he's talking about being in the flesh, he's talking about living for the flesh. Not graduating and being accepted by the Most High and living for the Spirit of the Most High. Being guided by the Spirit of the Most High. Being filled with the Spirit of the Most High and his child. That is what's important to you. But if it's the world and you looking to please this flesh, this carnal mind, you cannot please Elohim. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. How? If so be that the Spirit of Elohim dwell in you. Elohim don't choose everybody. Many are called, but few are chosen. Who's doing the calling? He's doing the calling. Who's doing the choosing? He's doing the choosing. You got to make yourself available. And then you got to be of a willing heart and a willing mind. You have to really want him. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, remember I already showed you, the Spirit that was in Messiah is the Most High himself. To wit, Elohim was in Christ. Doing what? Reconciling the world unto himself. So the Spirit of Christ is one in the self, same Spirit. He is none of his. So if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, if you don't have the Spirit of the Most High, you are none of his. And if Christ be in you, which is the Spirit of the Most High, the body is dead. Why? Because of sin. Life because of righteousness, keeping the law, obeying the Most High. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Messiah from the dead dwell in you, if the Spirit of the Most High dwell in you, he that raised up Mashiach from the dead shall also quicken or give your mortal body life. That's what quicken is. To give your mortal body life, how? By his Spirit that dwells in you. He's going to give you eternal life with his Spirit and your Spirit, you as his adopted child. And it will be a life of peace. No crying, no pain, no death, no starvation, no emotional trauma. No, none of that stuff. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. That's an absolute. You live by the flesh, you shall die. But if you live through the Spirit or by the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body. Don't let your body have its way. You shall live. For For as many as are led by the Spirit of Elohim, they are the sons of Elohim. Led by the Spirit are the sons. Filled with the Spirit are the sons. Now, there is a doctrine that goes around. I'm not going to mention what church I know teaches this. But they have many camps. And they teach you the more words you know, the more Spirit you have. The more Holy Ghost filled you are. But that is not true. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, they knew the law. They had the word of the Most High. They were not filled with his Spirit. We're going to go there in just a second, and we're going to wrap this up. For you have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, the bondage in sin. But you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, Daddy. I want to be like you. I want to walk in righteousness. I want to obey your voice. I want to fear you for and respect you for who you are. To know you. I know that you do terrible things. If people don't obey you, you are not nice. I know this. And I want to serve you with my all, with everything that I am. I just want to obtain the prize, eternal life in your kingdom as your child. Because I know that the things that you have for me, I can't even imagine. Spirit of Elohim itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of Elohim. When somebody is filled with the Spirit of the Most High, and another person that is filled with the Spirit of the Most High, when they meet, the Spirit of the Most High testifies, that's me. And the Spirit of the Most High testifies, that's not me. That's a mimicking spirit. Trying to act like me, but it's not me. I tell you. Whether that person belongs to him or not. Because how does he know? His spirit is there. And his spirit is testifying of itself. I'm there, but I ain't there. When I was in the church and I would bring people to service, and I wasn't preaching or teaching at the time, and the Most High filled me with the Ruach. And I would be in service, and then people would say, why are you looking at that person like that? So what do you mean? Because I didn't realize I was doing anything particular. Why are you looking at them like that? I said, because the Most I said, that's not him. Not him. That's another spirit, but it's not him. They'd be like, wow. And then it would come out. It wasn't him. So his spirit testifies of itself. And if children, then heirs. Remember we were talking about inheritance. What are you going to inherit? What are you an heir of? Eternal life and the kingdom. And joint heirs and heirs of Elohim. And joint heirs with Messiah. If so be, we suffer with him. See, we want to get into the kingdom and not have to suffer. We want the easy road in. We want, you know, hey, I came and I prayed to you every day, and I was at the altar, and I was sitting in the pews. But I wasn't, you know, hey, some people talking crazy down there. I'm not getting mixed up in that stuff. If I go with you, what do you got to worry about? If I call you to suffer, then know that I have you. There's a reason you're suffering. It's for my glory and for my pleasure. Somehow, a lot of people can't get with that. Suffering for your pleasure, for your glory? What's in it for me? Most of them, that should be enough. What I'm giving you, I'm going to make you my child. I'm going to elevate you. I'm going to give you something that the angels don't have and can't get. That we may also be glorified together. You got to be willing to suffer with him. This is your mindset that you have to have. Verse 18. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time, whatever you got to put up with, whatever you got to go through, are not worthy to be compared. You can't compare this suffering with the glory which shall be revealed in you. The two don't match. If you suffer even unto the giving of your life, it don't compare with the glory that you're going to receive. Think that all this pain ain't worth it. Most high, I can't do it. Then you don't really know and recognize what you're giving up. For the earnest expectation of the creature, wait for the manifestation of the sons of Elohim. The creation, stars and the moon and the sun and all the planets are waiting for us to manifest. These have been elevated to the children of the Most High. Everything in the creation bows to the Most High, and you being a child of the Most High, they will bow to you. Why? Because His Spirit is in you. We bow to Him because of us, but because of His Spirit in us. That's why I say you have to be very careful what you say and who you say it about. Because you may be talking to the Most High and don't even know it. Because that person is filled with the Spirit of the Most High. And the one who's addressing you at the time is the Most High. It's not that person. Have to be very careful. World, suffer for us, made atonement for us, that we might be able to approach the Most High, approach the throne of grace with a clear conscience, that we might become the children of Elohim. That's what atonement is all about. That's what we are to remember. We should not be coming to the Most High asking for forgiveness for our ignorant sins. Father Yah, forgive me if I have sinned against you unwittingly, unknowingly. Please forgive my sin. Teach me that I might know. Send somebody to me to tell me how I have transgressed, that I might not do it again. For my desire is to dwell with you, dwell with me. One more verse, and then we're going to wrap this up. You love me. This is Messiah speaking. This is our King speaking. This is our Elohim speaking. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Who is that comforter? Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him. Now he's talking to his disciples. But you know him. How do they know him? For he dwells with you. Comforter, the Spirit and the Comforter is with you already. Who is with them? Messiah. And shall be in you. I'm going to pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while and the world sees me no more. But you see me, because I live, you'll live also. At that day, you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. We are all one, one spirit, dwelling in all of us. He that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, Master, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself to unto us and not unto the world? How are you going to show yourself to us and not everybody else? Yeshua answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him and will come, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loves me not, keepeth not my saying. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, which is the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of the Most High, whom the Father will send in my name to all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. My peace, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, you would rejoice. You'd understand that I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. Yah in the spirit is greater than Yah in the flesh. Yah lowered himself to put himself into flesh. And now I have told you before it come to pass, when it comes to pass, that you might believe. Hereafter I will not speak much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and has nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandments, even so I do. Arise, let us go there. Messiah says, if you love him, keep his commandments. And he will not leave you comfortless. He would not leave you without the Ruach HaKodesh. And he would come and sup with you. But remember, he's speaking in parables, because he don't want everybody to understand and only believe and hear. On this Day of Atonement, bring yourself into at-one-ment with Yah. Dedicate yourself anew, afresh, to give your whole being to him. Your whole heart. Make it your desire to serve him with your whole heart, with all that you have and all that you are. To complete the commandment that he gave us, go ye into all the world. He wants us to not only spread the gospel in the world, but he wants us to spread the kingdom. Are there any questions?
No, sir.
If there are no questions, then I ask you to fast on the Day of Atonement. Dedicate yourself to the Most High. Stand that he has chosen you. And that you want to be that obedient child. And you want to be able to say with a clean conscience, Abba, Father, help me, be with me, comfort me, deliver me. Because as that song says, I only have eyes for you. Shalom, saints. Your evening. See you guys Monday evening as we celebrate the Day of Atonement. But we're not going to celebrate it. We are going to observe and be solemn. Because this is what? A serious feast day? So we're not going to celebrate, but we're going to be in observance. Stand that if we walk in the Spirit, all of our sins have already been what?
Forgiven.
And what we don't know that we have done, we ask the Most High to what? Forgive us for our ignorance. Send somebody to us to tell us that we might know, that we might do, that we don't transgress in ignorance. Peace and blessings to everybody. May the Most from all hurt and harm, pain and unseen. Until we meet again, remember, I love you. I really do. I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. I don't have a heaven or a hell to put you into. Fear the Most High and keep His commandments, saints, for this is our whole duty.
Mm-hmm.
Shalom. And enjoy the rest of your evening.
Yahuwah.
Shalom, brother and sister Mal. Shalom, family.
Shalom, family. Peace and blessings to you all. See you guys on Monday night.
Thank you.